Welcome to the Skokie Kolo Podcast. Here you can listen to recent shiurim given by members of the Kolo and special guests who spoke at the Kolo. For older shiurim, open the Learn tab above and select Audio Archive.
Hello, this is Ari Burian. In this week's Parsha, Parsha's Yisro, we are told the story of Maimed Har Sinai and the Ten Commandments, the Asaras Adibros. The fifth of the Ten Commandments is Kaved Asavicho Vasimecha, that you should honor your father and your mother, Laman Yerichun Yemecha, in order that your days should be lengthened, Al Adama Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosen Lach, on the land that Hashem will give you. And this seems like a pretty obvious mitzvah, something that's very important to our society, but what is the idea behind what that Hashem wants us to honor our father and mother? So the obvious idea we might say is that there's a Karas HaTov. Your parents do so much for you, they bring you into this world, they give you so much, and we should feel the responsibility to give back to them, to pay back all the good that they've done for us for so many years. And one beautiful idea that's developed by Rav Dessler is that the concept of love is actually created through giving. He points out the root of the word ahava is the word hav, which means to give. So the more you give, the more you love. And if you look at the relationship between a parent and a child, who loves who more? Does a parent love a child more, or does the child love their parent more? And I think everyone could agree that a parent loves their child much more than a child could ever love their parent. A parent is willing to wake up in the middle of the night and take care of their sick child and go out to the pharmacy and turn the world upside down in order to make sure the child is comfortable, even if they have a little sniffle or a little tickle in the back of their throat. But a child, for their parent, it takes a little more energy for the child to do that. They're not as motivated as the parent is to give up everything for the sake of the parent. So what creates this love that the father and the mother have for the child that's not the same level of love that a child might have for their parent? So the idea that Rav Dessler wants to teach us that the more you give to someone, the more you love them. A parent has an opportunity to give to a child for many, many years before a child ever gives anything back. Before a child can even understand what giving is, a parent has already spent many years waking up in the middle of the night, changing diapers, going to work to buy for food and clothing, taking them to the doctor, helping them when they're sick, and before a child ever has an opportunity to even smile at them to give them back a smile. And because of that, the love that the parent creates towards the child is so strong, it takes a very long time for the child to ever start building up that love that he might have for his parents through giving to them, which is a beautiful thing towards the end of their lives. So hopefully we all have this opportunity where as our parents get old, we get to see them age and we get to take care of them and give back that giving and that creating of love that we can create for them just like they created towards us when we were children. So therefore the Torah goes and commands us, Kaved Asavicha Vasimecha, honor your parents, because if you do, the more you give to them, the more you'll love them, and you'll develop the love that you should have for them, just like the love that they have created by giving to you for so many years. And that could be one of the sources of the importance of why Hashem would command us in the Ten Commandments of Kibbut Av Aim. And I'd just like to share with you two stories that we see the extent of how far Kibbut Av Aim actually goes. There's a story in the Gemara Yerushalmi of Rabbi Tarfon, and he once got sick, and the Chachamim, the rabbis came to visit him to Mevaker Chola. And when they arrived, Rabbi Tarfon's mother was there. And she said, please daven for my son, because he's such a good son, he does Kibbut Av Aim so well. And it was known that Rabbi Tarfon did a Kibbut Av Aim so well. There were stories about him that every night when his mother would want to go to bed, he would actually go down on his hands and legs so that she could climb on his back to get into bed. And in the morning when she wanted to get out of bed, he would again go back down on all fours so that she could climb down from her bed. And there's a story that one time her shoe broke on Shabbos, the sandal broke and the strap wouldn't hold the shoe on anymore. They couldn't fix it on Shabbos, so he put his hands under her feet, her foot, so that she could walk home the rest of the way and get into the house. How far he went with Kibbut Av Aim. And even so, the rabbis said, even if he were to spend thousands of times more effort on Kibbut Av Aim, he wouldn't have fulfilled half what the mitzvah actually is. To see how strong we expect people to be in the mitzvah of Kibbut Av Aim. This is such a fascinating story. Are we trying to look down on Rabbi Tarfon? He's sick. We should be davening for him. And the sages say he should have done more and more and more. So the Chafetz Chaim actually points out in the story that the sages recognized, because Rabbi Tarfon was so good at honoring his mother more than anyone they knew, they saw this was his mitzvah that he was brought down in the world to do. And if he would fulfill the mitzvah to 100% it needs to be done, then he would no longer be needed in the world. He might actually die from this sickness. So they went and said, look, even if he did more and more and more, he still wouldn't be halfway done. There's always more to do. In order to give him the schus that he should continue doing the mitzvah of Kivud Aim and stay alive longer. And that was the Chafetz Chaim says is the reason they responded in such a strong way. But we see how far the mitzvah actually goes. Even Rabbi Tarfon, who did so much, there's still more to go. But there is one end limit we see in Kivud Aim. And that's if the Torah ever contradicts what your parents say. If your parents ask you to do something that it goes against the Torah, you have to tell your parents in a respectful way, I'm sorry, but I can't do that because the Torah doesn't allow that. And I'd like to share with you a beautiful story that brings out this idea. A story of Moshe Feinstein. There was once a boy who was not from a religious family, but he decided to become religious, and he went to the yeshiva of Moshe Feinstein. And the parents were very upset that he was in yeshiva. They wanted him to be somewhere else. So they made a meeting with Moshe, and they spoke to him. They sat down, and they spoke to Rabbi Feinstein. They said, look, you are a person of the law. Let's look at the law. In Torah, it says that the majority rules. Now, there's three of us here in the room. We're all very concerned about our son. The mother and the father, we both want our son out of yeshiva. You, the rabbi, you want him in yeshiva. So two against one. Please tell our son to leave the yeshiva, because according to your Torah, majority rules, and he should be leaving yeshiva right now. And Rav Moshe Feinstein answered back, he said, hold on a second. He said, you know, when every time a child is created, there's actually three creators in that child. There's the mother, and there's the father, and there's Hashem. So if the three of us are players in this decision, let's look at all of our three components. He said, you, the mother, you're created from three, the mother, your mother, your father, and Hashem. Now it's true, your mother and your father might not want your son in yeshiva, but Hashem for sure does. So from you, it's two against one. And you, the father, you also have a mother and a father and Hashem that created you. And it could be your mother and your father, the other grandparents of this boy, maybe they don't want him in yeshiva, but Hashem for sure does. So it's four against two. But me, Rav Moshe Feinstein, my mother and my father and Hashem all want the boy in yeshiva. So we now have four against five. The two parts from me, from my parents, plus the three parts from Hashem is five against your four grandparents, five against four, the boy stays in yeshiva. The parents were so impressed with the logic and the thought that went into Rav Moshe Feinstein's answer. They said, if that's what you're teaching our boy in yeshiva, okay, he can stay. We want him to learn your Torah. Such a beautiful story, but the point is clear that we listen to our parents, we respect them every step of the way, but if they ever tell us that we need to go against Hashem, we need to go against the Torah, that's where we stop. So we see there is no really end to this mitzvah. It goes on and on. Rabbi Tarfon, no matter how much he did, he wasn't even halfway done with what he could do. But yet we don't take it to the extreme. There are times when we tell our parents that we can't do this, or we obviously select Hashem before our parents, but the fact that the Ten Commandments have Kibud Av Aim is to put our parents on the level that we treat them with respect, just like we treat Hashem with respect. We should have the opportunity to keep the Torah in the way that it should be kept, and honor our parents the way they should be honored, and have a wonderful Shabbos.
Shalom Aleichem, everyone. This is Eric Goldman, and it is my honor and pleasure to share with you words of Torah for Parshas Yisro. So last week, of course, Tom Brady and the New England Patriots played in their seventh Super Bowl and won it for the fifth time in the last 15 years. It's an unbelievable accomplishment, perhaps unparalleled in the history of sports. And it leaves you wondering, what is their secret? How are they able to be so successful and to win so often over such an extended period of time? What do they do that's so different than everyone else? And I can't say I have a guaranteed answer, but at least I can tell you what I think is something that sets them apart. Lahavdil elef alfei havdalos. Bnei Yisrael are standing at Har Sinai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to present them with the Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu relays the words of Hashem to the Jewish people, and the Jewish people respond, Vayanu kol ha'am yachtav. Everyone responds in kind together, Vayomru, and they say, Kol asher diber Hashem. Everything that Hashem says, na'aseh, we will do. Says of Shimshon Pinkas, Echasadik Levracha, and many of the other Baalei Machshava, the importance of what Bnei Yisrael were saying here was that they were accepting upon themselves, Kol asher diber Hashem, na'aseh. Everything that Hashem is saying, we will do. Inherent within such a Kabbalah, inherent within such an acceptance, is that I realize and I know that I can do it. Imagine saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, you know what Hashem, give me the whole Torah, and I'm going to try to maybe accomplish some of it and maybe fulfill some of it. Imagine you're going on a job interview, and the boss asks you, so, this is what we want, do you think you can do a good job for us? And you say, I think I could probably do a decent job. What are the odds of actually getting that job? Very slim. Why I personally think Tom Brady and the New England Patriots win so often, you know why? Because they believe that they will. They start off every season without a doubt, knowing that they can win. Every other team has doubts. They think, you know what? Maybe we can win. I think we have enough talent. But the Patriots know they can win. And you know why that's so important? because we can only accomplish in life what we think we are capable of accomplishing. If we think we really can win, then we can win. If we think that we are going to be pretty good, then we will only be pretty good. And again, lahavdil, when Bnei Yisrael are accepting the Torah, if they're only accepting it on the condition of mediocrity, then that's all they're going to accomplish. And what type of acceptance is that really? When Bnei Yisrael accepted the Torah, they said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it may be a difficult challenge. We may struggle. We may go slowly, but we will accomplish all of it. We will learn all of your Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so please give it to us. In the Sharei HaAvoda is a very small kuntras written by the Rabbeinu Yonah. And in there he writes that the first step of our Avodas Hashem, the first step a person must take in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to understand and to recognize the value and the potential within ourselves. Why should that be the first step? I would imagine believing in God is the first step. I would imagine recognizing God's hand in the world would be the first step, but no. Says the Rabbeinu Yonah, a Rishon, the first step must be that I believe in what I can accomplish. And the Pisrei Sharei HaAvoda, a parish, an explanation written by Harav Goldberg, one of the Rebbeim in Tel's Yeshiva in Cleveland, explains, because it's only to the extent that I believe in myself that I will be able to accomplish in my Avodas Hashem. If I do not recognize the Erech Atzmi, if I do not recognize what my value is, then everything else I do from thereafter will be limited. All of the learning I will try to accomplish will be limited. All of the mitzvos I will try to accept upon myself will be limited. And that is the importance of what the Bnei Yisrael were accepting at Har Sinai. Kol asher diber Hashem naseh, everything that Hashem says, we will be able to do. And if I could just offer one lemaisa suggestion of how we can take this idea and apply it in our daily lives. The Chovas HaTalmidim writes, Rav Klonimus Kalman from Pizetsna, that when a person says Berchas HaTorah in the morning, before he makes that bracha, he should think about all of the Torah that he wants to learn. He should realize that the entire Limud HaTorah is incumbent upon his shoulders, that he has the ability and the responsibility to learn the entire Torah. And with that motivation, he should have that kavana in his Berchas HaTorah. And so for all of us in our daily lives, we can take the words of the Jewish people, of Kol Asher Diber Hashem Na'aseh, and we can put that mindset into our Berchas HaTorah. And we can say Berchas HaTorah with a kavana of realizing and saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't just want to maybe be okay. I'm not aiming for mediocrity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm saying Berchas HaTorah because I want to learn every single word of Torah I can possibly learn. And I may have to struggle on my way there, and I may have to take it step by step and go slowly, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to learn it all. And now, let me say my Berchas HaTorah. Be'ezus Hashem Yisparach, we should be zocha to have this mindset in our lives, to realize how much potential we have to fulfill, to set the bar so high, and Be'ezus Hashem Yisparach, be able to meet our expectations for ourselves. Thank you, and have a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you for listening. Feel free to learn about all the programs that the Skokie Community Kol has to offer. For any questions, suggestions, or to subscribe to our weekly newsletter, please email us at info@skokiekol.org.